how is it to play in the arena without the fans? Obviously, it's got to be as bizarre as could be.
It's weird. Yeah. I mean, anytime there's a scrum or a big block shot or a big hit, it's just a couple taps on the bench, you know, from the guys. You don't hear anything. And it's just, was that a good play? Or, you know, I hope people, you know, they saw that. That was sweet, you know?
I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down.
Hello, hello. I'm John Taffer. Welcome to my weekly podcast. I'm sitting in my house in Las Vegas again, week after week after week. I'm sure you guys aren't exactly going out and flying around the world either. This is a great podcast for me. I have a good friend of mine, a Las Vegas Golden Knight, Nate Schmidt. And we got a lot to talk about with NHL starting and the bubble and what's going on in the bubble and how they're dealing with the bubble. And I'm curious to know what the hell is in the bubble, Corey, aren't you?
I know, right? Yeah.
I mean, are there restaurants in the bubble? Is there a place they can have a drink in the bubble? Is there a gym in the bubble where they work out? Is you know, what is it? What is exactly the bubble? And so I'm real excited to have Nate here. We're going to talk about that and you know, the whole startup of sports, which I'd like to talk about a little this week. And then a couple of other updates, some exciting stuff even going on with Bar Rescue, Corey.
Really? What you got?
Well, you know, we are going back into production as soon as the pandemic ends. So, right. So those of you that are concerned and have sent me social media messages, Bar Rescue is certainly coming back. But we're doing something really special with a whole new way of watching Bar Rescue. So I don't want to let too much out of the bag, but do you remember those old pop-up shows that had pop-ups on screen?
Oh, then they'd come across the screen.
And little facts and tidbits. Yeah. So that's all I'm telling you. That's all I'm telling you. But there's something premiering. We're pretty excited about it. It's a whole new way to look at Bar Rescue, and that's going to happen in September, so we're pretty excited about that. And then getting really pumped about Taffer's Tavern, Corey.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that all comes together here soon.
So what I did is I put in construction cams. So I got cameras, as you know, Corey, because you coordinate all this stuff for us. We have cameras on site. And it's sort of fun. I log in every day, and even though it's on the other side of the country, I'm watching the construction progress, and I'm watching the bricks go up on the walls, and the bars getting built, and the lighting putting in, and you know, all the FF&E, as we say it, which in the industry term is furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And it's exciting to see it all come together. And you know, this is a time when a lot of people are in the restaurant industry are really down, and you know, Taffer's Tavern is up. We're excited. We're opening. We believe we have a solution to the future. We believe that we have a safe kitchen and a safe environment. And we've created the Taffer Safe Dining System. My point is this, that there is brightness in all industries right now. And I was saying this to Corey a little while ago, and I've said this a couple of times the past few days. It's sort of my a new thought. And it came to me when I was on Neil Cavuto's show the other day on Fox Business, is that, you know, the first thing I would do, Corey, after I got a vaccine, would be go out to dinner. Man, I would go to a great restaurant immediately. As soon as I knew I had those antibodies, man, I'm out. Wouldn't you, Corey?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you had a vaccine right now and knew that you had the antibodies, would you not call your friends and say, let's go out for a drink, let's go out for dinner? Correct?
Oh, yeah, I'd have the reservation already ready.
That's what I'm saying. So when you think about it, the minute we all put that needle in our arms and get that vaccine or take that pill or get that patch or however the hell it's administered, the next thing that we are going to do is go out. Some of us are going to go out to dinner. Some of us are going to go out to bars. Some of us are going to go out to shop. We're going to do the things that we loved to do that couldn't do during the pandemic, and we're going to do them as fast as we can. So when I think about that premise, wow. So when we get to the vaccine, there's going to be a surge then, isn't there? Now, I don't hear anybody saying the word surge, so I might be the first one to say that. But, Corey, I was the first one to say we'd be at 50% capacity back in March.
Yeah, look at us now.
And I was the first person to say that that the audience would come out in the third. Remember that?
Yeah.
And 31% came out in the first place, so I was a whopping 2% off. Yeah. So I've been pretty good at my predictions during this thing. I'm going to be a little cocky here, give myself a pat in the back. Honestly, I've nailed every fucking one of them. From the capacity things that we've said to the predictions of industry fallout, industry closures, we've been right on the money in all the predictions we're going to make. And I'm going to make another one right now. As soon as people get this vaccine, the next thing they are going to do is they are going to go out to dinner, out to lunch, out with their friends, out to bars. They're going to go out to concerts. They're going to go out to movie theaters. They're going to go out to concert venues. And son of a gun, Corey, they're going to go out to sporting events. And it's going to happen. We will have the vaccine. I think we all know that now, Corey, because there's so many in trials and we're making such positive progress. I think we all know we're going to have it. So if we know we're going to have the vaccine and we know we're going to have it in several months, then think to yourself, if you had that vaccine now, what would you do tonight and tomorrow? You'd go to fuck out.
Yeah, I'd get a beer.
I recognize this has had serious economic impact and some people have lost their jobs and impact have been, it has impacted people's disposable income level and their ability to spend money and consumer confidence. I get that all of these things have been impacted. But the fact of the matter is, maybe you just go out for a dollar special at McDonald's. Maybe you go out, but you're still going to go out because we are craving that experience. We're craving to get back out again. And now, you know, that sports has started. It's interesting, Corey, because a lot of friends are now inviting friends over to each other's houses to watch games, which is the beginning of a little more social interaction. So it's sort of exciting to see sports back. Question. What is one of the one things in America that is really homogeneous? What is it that black, white, old, young, skinny, fat, tall, short, male, female, what are the things that really bind us all? Well, you could say food. We all like hamburgers and hot dogs and certain things like that, right, Corey? That sort of connects us
all.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You know, we look at things like even a national treasures we've seen challenged these days. Monuments have been challenged these days. So, you know, I'm not certain if we all look at the Statue of Liberty that that's homogeneous now, that people don't have bad things to say when they look at an image like that. You know, I'm not sure when people look down Fifth Avenue and look at all the beautiful stores and everything, if that's all positive now, if that's homogeneous, or there aren't people that are going to badmouth it and speak up against it. And then I look at, you know, politics. Certainly everybody's badmouthing and speaking up against that. And then, Corey, you know, you can wear some clothing or dress in a certain style, you know, and put a spike down the middle of your head, and people are going to speak bad about one way or another is the way you dress or the way you act or the way you behave yourself. So there aren't many things that homogeneously connect us if you think about it, right? So food is one of them. Sex is one of them, obviously, you know, to some degree. But what are the things that no matter who we are that we all tend to connect with? What are the things that are safe territory for us, Corey, that we'd all jump in together because there's no fear, Corey, of it? You're not going to get screamed at. You're not going to this. It's safe. It's homogeneous. Nobody thinks you're a jerk. Because you like it. And what is that it? There's not many of them today if you think about it. And that's one of the problems with our society. Is, you know, years ago when I was younger, we had space programs and men walked on the moon and that was homogeneous. We all rooted for that guy to land on the moon, Corey. All of us did. Even in China, they stood on streets watching it. The whole world rooted for this guy to land on the moon. Neil Armstrong to land on the moon. And then when I think about other things that have happened, you know, we're all rooting for so many various things, and what we're all rooting for gets less and less and less all the time. And I think those are the things that are eroding us. But the one thing I believe that stands out in a crowd that is homogeneous, the one thing that seems to pull us all together, the one thing that isn't objectionable has been sports. And when you think about that, Corey, if you live in New York and you're, let's say, a Jets fan, just to pick a team, then, you know, Jets fans, look at the demographic mix-up of Jet fans. There are people 90 years old that are Jets fans, and there are people 9 years old that are Jets fans.
Yeah.
Rich people, poor people, black people, white people, of every ethnicity, every size, every shape. Everybody, anybody can be a Jets fan. So all of this worked to create a homogeneous environment for us. And what was wonderful about sports is that sports was this safety zone. We could curse at the players. We could cheer for the players. We could cheer for a team. We could hate a team. None of this made us socially objectionable. It was all acceptable. I could love the Jets, and I was a decent guy. I could hate the Jets, and I was still a decent guy. I could hate a quarterback. I was a good guy, bad guy. Fact of the matter is these things didn't categorize us as bad. And then someday, at some point in time, somebody chose to introduce politics into sports. Now, I take no position, and that's not my point here today. I'm not taking a position, and certainly all lives matter. And certainly, people have the right to express themselves. But when we brought politics into one of the things that is the most homogeneous things in our society, the one thing that wasn't political, the one thing that political persuasions, ethnic groups, age groups, male, female, anybody could participate in, the moment we introduced what was divisive into what was homogeneous wasn't homogeneous anymore. And that is a bummer. And to me, no matter what side of these issues you're on, whether you're one who would kneel or one who would not, and I'm not placing judgment upon which of the two you do, that is not the purpose of this discussion. The purpose of this discussion is that the place to create divisiveness? And when we bring divisiveness into the things that are homogeneous in our society, is that good or is that bad? Does it separate us more as a society? It certainly doesn't pull us together more of a society when we break up things that are homogeneous and make them divisive. So where is the safe ground today? I go on social media, Corey, it's political as hell. I was looking at a post. Every once in a while, there's a Bar Rescue fan page. You know, I don't control it or anything.
It's pop up.
Yeah. And you know, every once in a while, I try to visit those pages. You know, and I don't do it often, but I want to see what they're saying. And if I have a minute, I'll stop over there. And, you know, some guy was talking about what owner was their favorite. And it became some political discussion. And some guy says, this is too political. I'm out. I don't understand how discussions of a Bar Rescue episode becomes political. So I don't even know the political disposition of the owners, honestly, Corey. I have no idea if they're conservative or liberal. I never ask. It doesn't matter to me.
That's the point, yeah.
So if it doesn't matter to me when I shot the frickin' thing, how does it matter to anybody when it's over? So I just don't understand how we benefit as a society when we take away all of our safe places. And I don't mean safe rooms in a university because that's a bunch of bullshit. I'm talking about safe places like sports, where you can go be yourself and root for either side and not be forced to make a political statement at a frickin' football game or not be backed into a political corner at a baseball game or forced to say whether you have a political belief or not at a hockey game. That just doesn't seem like what sports should be. So I'm so excited that baseball and NBA and NHL, I'm so excited that these sports are back. I saw this as a wonderful opportunity to have these homogeneous things come back into our society so we would have something to cheer and root about together again. And I didn't see this coming. I didn't realize that even this would now become divisive. And that people are posting, that's it, I'm done with football. That's it, I'm done with baseball. That's it, I'm not watching basketball. That this has become so divisive that how does that serve any of us? How do the players play as well? How do the coaches coach as well? How do we all watch it the same? I think that we've got to get back to a level of decency and respect and understanding there's a place for political discussions. And America is not really a political nation. America has politics in it. But we're a nation that's bigger than that in so many ways. And I'd love to see us get sports back as it used to be. I'd love to see us put politics where it should be, put sports where it should be, and put fans back where they can concentrate on the game and get all this divisiveness gone. I hate it. The fact of the matter is, I don't care what your political beliefs are. I love you anyway, man. And I'll be right back.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
I got into a bit of a dissertation there, Corey.
You did.
But I'm making a point.
Yeah.
You know, if you were going to call me an asshole, would you do that in front of my daughter or would you wait till my daughter wasn't in the room? You'd probably wait till my daughter is in the room. My point is this. Yeah. You would have a place to do it and a place not to do it. And we as a society have lost touch with that. Well, about a year ago on Bar Rescue, I had a couple of dear friends of mine, Nate Schmidt and Ryan Reeves, do recon on Bar Rescue. Remember that, Corey?
I did. That was a great episode.
That was a great episode. I threw some food in recon, sort of freaked them both out.
Yeah, they were freaked out.
But those of you who know me well know I'm a big fan of hockey. I'm a big fan of the Las Vegas Golden Knights and, of course, the greatest inaugural sports franchise in history. It's a bona fide fact, making it to the finals in its inaugural season. So a lot of energy and a lot of excitement around the Knights. And one of the most beloved players on the Las Vegas Golden Knights is Nate Schmidt. And it's interesting. Nate comes to Las Vegas now, I guess it's almost 4 years ago, and in his young 20s, comes into a big city like Las Vegas and just becomes beloved. And he became a brand in this city. And Nate is not only a great guy, and when you watch Bar Rescue, you can see that yourself in the episode that he's done with me. And he's not only beloved in this city, he is one great hockey player. And we saw it when he scored a goal just two nights ago, right? In a great game, another great goal.
Yeah.
And Nate is a catalyst. His energy is a catalyst of things. He has such a positive spirit. And I'm thinking to myself, Corey, boy, NHL has started. Sports has started. I'm so excited about this. But think of these NHL players up in the, quote, bubble.
Yeah, that's got to be weird for them. You
know? What the fuck is the bubble?
Yeah.
I mean, can they eat in the bubble? So I'm really curious. So we reached out to Nate. Nate Schmidt is a great hockey player. You know, he was born in 1991. He played in Minnesota State High School League, went to the Fargo Force in 2007 in the United States Hockey League, then made it to the Minnesota Golden Gophers in the NCAA Medical. Then he made it to the Minnesota Golden Gophers in the NCAA Men's Division Conference. Then as an undrafted player, he was drafted, imagine this, by the Washington Capitals, who happened to have won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, in 2013 and played 8 of the final games of that season. And suddenly, he was in the AHL, the American Hockey League. And now they sent him to the affiliate Hershey Bears. And then, unbelievably, in 2017, the NHL expansion draft, Nate was drafted by the Las Vegas Golden Knights and started playing in the Las Vegas Golden Knights and signed a 2-year, $4.5 million contract with the Golden Knights during his first season. And if I'm not mistaken, he signed a 7-year freaking contract, Corey. 7 years, one of the longest NHL contracts I've ever seen just last year. Nate is loved by Las Vegas. He was loved by the NHL. He's a great guy. He's a pretty shrewd businessman. He's a great hockey player. So I'm really pleased to have him back. Nate, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's good to see you. So just so the audience knows, we're buddies. You know, we've seen each other before, and I have so much to talk to you about. We haven't spoken in quite a while. First, how are you and the family and everybody?
Great. Sister just moved home from Boston. I just moved up to Edmonton.
Yep. Which wasn't something
everyone's good. Everyone's good and healthy right now. Yeah, it's been good.
So where were you during the lockdown? Were you in Las Vegas? Were you up north?
No, I was in Las Vegas. Pretty much our whole team stayed in Las Vegas. So just working out, training in the garage, and not doing a whole heap besides working out, training in the garage. Maybe hit the pool for a fake pool day. Other than that, it was that was about it.
Yeah. So when you're working in a garage, obviously you can't skate, right? Skating is out of the question. You don't have that. So does the manager or does the team prescribe a workout for you to do in the garage?
So yeah. So they had things for us, but our strength coach here is really great with being able to adapt because to certain guys, look, some guys like to work out one way and some guys like to work out another way. He's really good at not being, this is the workout. There's no deviance from there. So we, just between you and I, stole a few things from the rink, put it in the garage. So there was just three of us and myself, Ryan Reeves, myself, our boy, Ryan,
who's also been on this podcast, Revo.
Another friend of the, of it all. So we just kind of took the four of us and we worked out 5-6 days a week. And we'd go to each other's house for lunch once a week and then once on the weekend. And that was the only people I saw for 2.5-3 months.
Yeah. And, I know you, Nate. You're a pretty social guy. First of all, you're not great at sitting still, right? You like to do things and move.
It's hard. So, get the energy out.
So was this hard for you?
It was tough. I mean, for me, I like to get out and get seeing things. I love going in social situations, going to a bar, going to a restaurant, going to see someone, go get the guys together for dinner, go see a show. All those got cut out except for one, you know, which was just hanging by the pool with a small group of guys twice a week.
You know, it's funny, me too. The two of us are in a common world in that, you know, we go on TV, our seasons begin, right? We have local recognition. We're famous in our town. You know, there are certain people who look up to us because we're on television and who we are. And of course, you much more than me because of your discipline and your athletics. Yeah. No, I mean that. So, you know, your life is moving. You're in front of cameras and you're doing interviews and you're doing commercials and you're getting ready for the season and you're going and going and going and going. And then all of a sudden, whammo, you stop.
Bam, nada.
How hard was that for you?
It is hard. I mean, it took a second. It took a week to kind of find your bearings.
Yeah.
Maybe longer than that. Maybe a week and a half to kind of find our bearings and how to be able to. Because think about it. You and I, everything is so scheduled. Show up. This is meeting time, meal time, media. Workout, get on the ice, play a game, wake up, do it again, you know? And to not have that structure in your life is hard. Sometimes you have to really ad lib it, find a new book, find a new hobby for the time being. I read a bunch, did a bunch of puzzles, tried to do as many home improvement things as I can, had to reach out to people all the time to figure out what the heck I was doing. YouTube's a great thing to show you how to do anything around your house.
So you can run a little do-it-yourself channel then on YouTube, maybe. Nate's do-it-yourself.
How not to do it. How not to do it with Schmitty.
You know, how not to do it. You know, I think that when I think of this season and I think to myself, wow, what if I was a rookie and this was my first NHL season, right? And I'm so excited and I want to make my mark, Nate. And I can't wait to play all my games and get out there. And I want to go on the road and I want to feel what it's like to play at home. And whammo, that season is taken away from that rookie. And, you know, next year he might not be the same kind of player. And how does a rookie feel when something like this goes on? I'm guessing it's devastating.
It was hard. So Zach Whitecloud, the guy that worked out in our working group, had just gotten called up, I mean, about 3 weeks before the pause, maybe a month before the pause.
And looked great.
Yeah, played great. Just dipping his toes into it, just seeing it. And all of a sudden, like you said, it's a stop. And we're all thinking, I might be done for 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks. And then you start seeing things after a week, like, oh, man, we're not playing for a while now.
Yeah.
And it was just, for him, it was a way, you know, I got to train with Ryan and myself and Braden. It was a way to say, oh, okay, this is how, I mean, Ryan's one of the, probably the biggest, you know, the biggest trainer of all the guys that were in there. And he was, and then to be in a weight room with him, you know, see him. He pops out of his shirt every time he's around, and you start working out with these guys. And I think that kind of you take a lot of a negative of what could have happened or what did happen. And I think Zach, we have such a good group. I think he learned a lot. You learn a lot from a guy like Ryan that's been in the league for a long time. Myself and Braden, 7-8 years.
Yeah,
you just pick up on small things about being a pro. You know, and that's a saying that we say all the time: is be a pro. You had a couple beers night before, you come in, you be a pro. You're tired from the game before, you come in, you be a pro.
You know, it's interesting. So you hope now that he gets a good start when we come back and that the momentum comes back for him. But, you know, I fear that some of these rookie players might not get that chance again, and, you know, it might really change things. And then I look at even a guy like yourself, Nate, who's prime, right? You know, you're prime. You just got a great new contract, right, several months ago. You're in a city that I know you love being in because you told me that yourself. You know, you have fans who freaking adore you, and you know that too, right? So you've got a great situation here. So now you're excited. You're salivating.
No,
you're going, you're going into a new season. It couldn't be any better.
Right?
Are you worried that, you know, you lose some of this year's stats, right? You lose some of this year's play time. I mean, this does impact your whole career in a sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I always find it odd to me. Guys always say, man, you know, it's January. I can't wait till playoffs come around. You know, I'm really going to turn it on then. Man, you never want to hit the fast forward button on this game or on anything in life in general. I mean, if you hit the fast forward button, you blink your eyes and all of a sudden it's over.
Yeah.
And for me, it's hard because, you know, I just turned 29. I think I got a lot of good years left for me, but you can see – this is my 7th or 8th year pro already. I can remember my first day, and And I try and tell Zach this, and Ryan is big on this too. He's like, you just tell him, man, you understand how great this game can be and how hard it can be and stressful at the same time. But it, at the end of the day, nothing's going to be as tough as the day that you got to say goodbye. Yeah. You know, and to enjoy and cherish the moment, that's what's hard. And you have a really good team. And we have a really good team as well. It makes it even harder that you can't play.
Right.
So it was a tough little start there.
And an inaugural team and the beginnings that you had, you know, creates deeper emotional connections to the whole thing. No, I'm with you, buddy. This is, I'm guessing, about deep a team relationship as you could have as a player, I would think, right?
This is the closest I've been into a team environment. I mean, you know, maybe the kids on the backyard and the ponds, the kids you grew up with, are about the only other thing you're probably closer to. But it doesn't really happen in the pro setting much. You know, when guys are out and we don't have one or two guys going here, one or two guys going there, it's, hey, guys, where are we going tonight? You know, we have a little club, you know, as soon as we get into a city. I don't want to call it, it's the beer club. We have a beer club. And anytime you get into a city, it's like, boys, where are we going? Closest bar, have a beer. See where, you know, and then from there, guys like, well, I want Italian, or I want to go grab a steak. Then we might break out, but everyone always comes together, grabs one or two beers as soon as you get into every city.
So break out
from there. But you don't have, that's the best part about being on a team.
Yeah. So a little plug for Ryan Reeves here. So how much 7.5 have you drank?
How about this? He invites us over during the quarantine. First four times, he goes, guys, I didn't buy anything. I got 5 kegs. Threw it on the first Saturday. The second Saturday rolls around. He goes, guys, I don't have any more kegs left. We can't make anymore.
So I want to ask you a question I bet you've never been asked before. And I don't want this question to come upon you for a long, long time. Okay. But if you retired from hockey today, what would you miss the most, Nate?
The locker room, and it's not close.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say it's not close. Being able to play and hear the John Wick song when you run through the helmet, you know, at home, that's a very close second, you know, because you hear the crowd, you feel nothing like feeling energy. I love to feel energy.
Thrive on it.
You know, and thrive on it.
Yeah,
I would say that, but the locker room around the guys, that's just what makes it fun. You know, everyone that leaves the game, that's what you guys miss the most. That's just the camaraderie, walking into the video today, and yeah, we didn't play great the other night. And Jonathan Marsh still getting up during the middle of a thing. He's talking like, oh, Schmidt, you really missed your play on that one. You know, just something like that. And that's just the stuff. And you just can't wait to see him afterwards. Right. And that's just the way the room works. And it has to be that way.
Yeah. You know, I was sort of hoping that without the fans present, that we'd sort of hear what you guys say to each other a little more. But
I think they've needed it a little bit.
Unfortunately, we're not hearing a lot of that stuff. But boy, I wish we could. So the obvious question, how is it to play in the arena without the fans? Obviously, it's got to be as bizarre as could be.
It's weird. Yeah. I mean, anytime there's a scrum or a big block shot or a big hit, it's just a couple taps on the bench, you know, from the guys. You don't hear anything. And it's just, was that a good player? You know, I hope people, you know, they saw that. That was sweet, you know. Or the other night, we have a goal gets reviewed, coaches challenge, and everything went completely dead. I literally skated back to the bench. I was like, why did it get so quiet in here?
Do you think it's affecting play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not as much momentum swings. I mean, one team will have it, and they don't give it up as easy because there's not a big hit or a big – block shot or a fight or a goal that gets guys or someone fired up or a great play and it gets the crowd kind of a little bit of a buzz. It's like playing on the road. It's great because you want to keep it quiet, keep the home fans quiet, and you really feed off that, but then you don't really get any energy yourself from anybody, so it's hard. It's difficult.
And you're used to a loud arena at T-Mobile,
the loudest arena. The only rink I could even think of that would be even close. I mean, Montreal gets pretty loud because it's pretty big, right. But that's about it.
Blackhawks, right? United Center gets pretty loud in Chicago. United Center,
that's right. Chicago is pretty loud as well.
Before I moved here, I had Blackhawks season tickets before I moved to Vegas, and that could be a pretty loud place.
We all make mistakes.
So, you know what's interesting, Nate? I want to change topics with you for a couple of minutes. You know, you're a young guy. You become a professional hockey player.
Yeah.
You're now in the NHL. You then develop as a player, right? You get traded to a team in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, you become very high profile. Suddenly, Nate Schmidt is a brand. Mm-hmm. You're not just a kid playing hockey anymore, right? It's not just about goals anymore. It's now you're a brand. So now you got people knocking on your door. Nate, let's do this. Nate, invest in that. Nate, let's do this. Nate, I want your name. So now suddenly you have to be an entrepreneur too. And you have to manage your brand and all of that. And, you know, I say this, buddy, and I'd give you a hug if you were here, COVID aside. But, you know, you built a great brand for yourself here. And you know this. And you're a standout player in your relationship with the fans here in Las Vegas. So how do you manage that? Are these decisions you're making on your own, what you do, what you don't do, how you manage your brand? Do you have advisors that you're talking to? Because I'd love people to learn from this experience from you about how you've dealt with this change in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had when I was in college, I didn't really know how to really navigate, you know, college and age around the guys versus who I actually was. So it was a little bit, I didn't really hide from who I was, you know, this kind of upbeat in your face, positive guy that just kind of says, hey, this is who I am. You know what I mean? And just go from that moment. And so it took me a few years to kind of find what kind of makes me tick and take my, you know, my energy and just say, if you want it, you have it. If you don't, toss it back. It doesn't bother me one bit or the other. Yeah. And I like getting to know people, and I like to be not just a, hey, you know, I take my picture and I see you. You know, I like to sit and talk and get to know somebody. And I think that's what's, you take the time. I mean, we say it all the time. We could donate money. You can give money to something. You can, you know, sign a stick and give it away. But giving your time and getting is a huge part of, in my opinion, it's the greatest currency you can give somebody.
Right.
And I think that's, you give your time to sit and talk with someone for, you know, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever it may be, trying to just to get it to everybody. And you can't, but at the same time, you try your best to just take your moment and say, this is what it is. I am here. I am going to try and make the most of this, connect with people as much as I can, and then we'll move from there. And then, what you know, it's not, and for me, I'm not looking for anything from people. I just want to, you know, just want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of that. Like I said before, I like feeding up a good, positive energy people. Good.
I was just going to say, you like to feed positive energy into things.
Yeah. And then see what kind of grows from there.
Yeah.
You know, how something might manifest, if you will, to something maybe greater, something that might just say that guy or gal, or that kid goes home and like, man, you know what? I had a great experience today, you know, with Nate Schmidt. And that's the way I like to think. And I hope that when I, you know, come in contact or I work with people, that's the way they say about me, because I don't want, you know, there are a lot of people out there. You can just, hey, do your job. I'm going home.
Right. No, you're more than that.
And that's, so we're entertainers, Sean.
Yeah.
At the same time.
But you're authentic, Nate. And that's why it's working for you, because you are who you are.
Yeah.
And you know, there are certain guys, even in your league, that they're one way in the locker room. They're another way on camera, and they're not authentic.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, that comes through. And even for me, I'm told why I'm successful in my TV show is because I'm authentic. You've been on my show with me. Was I that different on camera?
I got to tell you, I was running that thing all the way back. Alec Martinez, when we were talking about it yesterday, I told him, man, he goes, is he really that intense? I go, yeah, but he's the biggest sweetheart when you see him behind the scenes. And I go, I just have never seen someone just so fluid in how he approaches things. Like it's such a professional approach, how you just take everything, mold it together, put it back together, and bang, you're back. It's just, it's impressive. We're talking about it for about an hour or two at meal last night. It was awesome.
Wow. Well, thanks. I got to tell you, those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Nate and Ryan Reeves, Revo, did a bar rescue recon for me. And I must say, it was sort of a heated one. I threw a little food, went a little crazy. And I must say, I got to post a photograph from the episode, because I think when I threw the food, the look on your face, Nate, was like a million-dollar look. You saw the episode, right? There was a moment that you were loving it. But I shocked you once or twice, I think.
You know, Revo and I were just talking about this last night. John, you started going off. And Revo goes, I hope they cut away, because I'm sitting there going like this, curled up in a ball as John's wailing, hammering away at this guy. He goes, I've never been so scared in my life. And I'm like, did you just say you were scared? I was like, are you sure? Are we talking to the same guy here? It was fantastic.
Well, it was a lot of fun having you, but I hope you can come back and do it another time.
It's awesome. I love that stuff.
It was really fun. So we were talking, but I'd love to share some of this stuff with our viewers. And you're good on time, right? You got a few more minutes?
I'm great. Hey, let me tell you about the bubble.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
No, I'm saying I got about 6 hours before I got to do something, which is go to bed.
Gotcha. So we were talking a little early. So you're in a bubble now. You've been there for how long?
We've been here for, about a week and some.
Yep.
Week and change.
So you're in a hotel. Are all you guys on the same floor?
Our team is all on the same floor, and we have two floors, and then we have one lounge area floor, which is a big conference room that they allow our guys to go in there. You can watch the games, get some food or some, they got Gatorades and coconut water and all that stuff down in the lounge, and some snacks and such. And then we got some N64s hooked up for Mario Kart and Mario Tennis. That's just, for fun. But but then all the other teams are down there as well. So it's weird. We've seen everybody.
So it's almost like a military installation. You have a little R&R area, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then your sleeping quarters and stuff. So yes. are you having dinner? Are there any social events in the lobby with other teams or other players or not really?
I mean, you can go to a restaurant with other guys there. Most of our guys have been just kind of hanging in the room. There's a couple food trucks outside, Tim Horton's truck for coffee, and that's about it. I mean, so, we have a little patio, so that's about all we got.
Okay,
but it's hockey and bubble.
So just between you and I, Nate.
Yeah.
So if you happen to walk past a Shark player in the hallway, would you say hello?
I usually just give a good morning to whoever I'm in the elevator with. I can be kind of shy sometimes when I don't know guys, especially in hockey. Like, I don't really want guys to know, I don't know. I like being around our guys.
Yeah.
I ran into Malcolm Subban the other day, Pierre Belmar. Love seeing those guys. But those are the original Misfits.
Yeah, I miss Belmar. so it's interesting. So you're locked in a hotel in a bubble. So when you're not playing, you really have the lounge, your own TV in your hotel room, your phone, your computer, that's it?
Yeah, here we are.
So are you going nuts?
You
have me, buddy. Are you going nuts?
This is what I got.
Are you going crazy a little?
No, I'm doing great. I can keep myself busy. I mean, I just kind of bounce around. I don't have like a certain thing or one way or another that I have to do. If guys are doing something, I'm in. Guys are playing cribbage the other night, I'm in. Okay. You guys are going to shoot some basketball, I'm in.
Is there a team gym set up in a hotel for you guys?
No, it's only for the staff. Now the team gyms are over at the rink.
You
can go over there, but you can. It's hard. You only got a few things. But it's playoff time. Guys aren't really working out unless it's a practice day or after a game.
Right.
Yeah, I'm more of an after a game kind of guy. I like to work out after a game.
So I'm guessing it's sort of like the Olympics. Certain teams have the ice for training, et cetera, at certain hours and certain times. So you're going on the ice and other teams coming off the ice for workouts and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's a well-oiled machine. Like, it's just churning people in and out. You're here, you're here, you're here. And the practice rink's about 30 minutes away, which is a little bit of a bummer, but it breaks up the day.
Yeah.
They got stuff separate everywhere.
It was weird. The first game or so that I think I watched, one of the exhibition games, I don't think there was any music or anything. It was completely quiet. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they started playing music a little bit in between plays. I'm guessing for you guys to make it feel a little more normal, right?
Huge. I mean, think about it, John. We go out there. And so let's just say you're the D coach and I'm coming over to you and I'm saying, and you're trying to tell me, hey, Schmitty, this is the, I go, hey, John, what's the next play here? Like, what are we running off this face off? And you just go, in a normal voice, we're running strong side out. And all of a sudden, their five guys turn around and look at you because nothing else is happening. And all of a sudden, we're going back to the bench. I'm going over to Braden. I'm like, I think they just heard our play. Like, do something else.
So that's some of the reason too then. And then, if I'm not mistaken, after a goal, the announcer is announcing the goal as if there's fans in the seats too, aren't they now?
Yeah, and actually our home guy, so Dave Gosher, does our stuff. Yeah, he's the one that, so they have, each individual team has each individual guy do their own stuff.
Yeah. I also noticed last night that they played Viva Las Vegas, so they play our victory song at the end of the game.
It felt great. Felt like we were Okay, it didn't really feel like we're home, but it felt kind of like we were home. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. When you're a season ticket holder like I am, and I went to almost every Knights game, first and second season, and you hear at the end of the game, those of you who don't know, when you go to T-Mobile Arena and the Knights play, at the end of the game in a victory, they play Viva Las Vegas. That's the song we play in a victory. The first season, we just never lost at home. We never knew there was another song that you played when you didn't win, Nate. Yeah. We thought you just played that song winner.
Yeah, that was the only song. Because
you won every time. It was only games and games into the season that we realized there was another song that we played when we didn't win.
But, you know, unfortunately, we had to figure that out.
Hats off to the NHL. You know, I think the way they've covered the seat, the way they position the arena, you know, I understand they've even thrown some hats out for a hat trick.
It happened last night. This gal walks down and all of a sudden she starts ripping them out. And I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
So, you know, real hats off to the NHL. And I'm sure you're feeling the structure and the organization around you. And do you feel as a player safe from a COVID standpoint? Do you feel that the bubble is working?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had zero cases in a week and a half. I mean, we get tested every day. Everyone gets tested a lot. I mean,
yeah. So you feel safe?
Yeah. I mean, the only time I haven't felt safe was the first day of the nose swab when I had this gal. I'm pretty sure she tickled the back of my brain and I didn't know what was going on.
Was it worked in a hockey stick in the face?
Yeah. Well, I think I'd rather take a stick in the face. I know how it feels. I might get a scar. I might look good, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes, buddy. But you know, it's interesting. I've always said that, you know, a hockey season is a war. There are so many games, so many hits, so many fights, so many injuries that it takes to get to a Stanley Cup. And it's almost like you take a shot and you limp, and then you take another shot and you crawl, and then you take another shot and you're sliding across the ground. It's almost like that knight from Monty Python who has no legs and no arms, but he's still trying to grab the stick somehow. You know, and you know, I've always felt that there's no sport that is, you know, has the brutal wear and tear on the body and expends so much to get to a Stanley Cup. And I know you agree with that, buddy, because you've lived it. I watch it. I can't imagine how hard it is to live it and how hard those last playoff series must be after playing so many games during the season. Yes. So now we have a shorter season.
Yeah.
And obviously that takes some of that physical burden off you, right? You're not playing nearly as much. You're going to play, what, almost about a third of the games to the Cup, something like that, give or take.
Yeah.
So... Is that going to make it for a more exciting Stanley Cup? Are we going to have less injuries, more energy, people less beat up? What do you think?
100%. I think this is going to be the hardest one to win. I'm going to tell you right now, our first preseason game and our first round robin game was the two hardest games that I think I've played in the calendar year.
Really?
It was as if you shot them all guys out of a cannon. I haven't been hit. Like, I was sore. You know, like, I got up and I was like, oh man, oh, that hurts. Okay, well, that's a little bit, that one hurts a little bit too. You know, it's just hits are bigger. I mean, you guys are running around, they're healthy, they're fresh, they're hungry, right. And it's all systems go. There's no, hey, well, just mosey through the preseason, get through the first, you know, month, kind of get into the Christmas break. Yeah, we'll start, you know, and maybe into February, yeah. And then it's gas pedal. I don't know if I got hit so many times in the game.
Wow.
In the last game. Like, it was – that's the way – you just got to stand in there. And that's the playoff. Oh, you got to stand in there and take one every once in a while. And that's what makes it – I think that's what makes the playoffs so special. It's guys are willing to do it.
Yeah. So this could be, in effect, one of the most exciting NHL seasons ever.
Outside the fans? Yeah, outside there being fans and energy. Right. Yeah. Outside than that, I would say yes.
Yeah. So is there anything you want to say to the hockey fans out there that, you know, as I let you go, buddy? I mean, I know you guys are doing good in the bubble. We talked a lot about it. But you know, anything you want to say to the fans or to Vegas? Because I know they're listening to us.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I would just say we can hear you. We feel a lot of the support, you know, even up here. And it's hard sometimes to express that. But know that we feel it and guys are talking about it and knowing that, you know, I jump into the Bellagio fountain someday with a big piece of silver, you know, I don't know what it is, whatever we do. But yeah. And just, you know, I'm excited to have some back again, just excited to have hockey back and hope everybody is as well.
Yeah. We are really excited to be back and we can't wait to get you back home, buddy. And you know, yeah. It's exciting with the vaccine. You know, there's a bunch in trials now. We are going to come out of this around the first of the year.
You know what? It sucks. Yeah, but
a lot of people
say only one way to go to that.
I agree with you. And a lot of people say that, you know, when they get a vaccine, the first place I'm going after I get my vaccine is out to dinner. First place I'm going when I get my vaccine is to a hockey game, buddy.
Yeah.
I love you, Nate. This was a blast. Stay safe up there. You know, let's see another goal soon, okay?
Yes. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
Have a good one.
You too. Well, guys, I must confess, it's always fun for me to do anything hockey, but having Nate on and learning about the bubble and the positive energy that he has. So let's have some fun with this. Sports is back. You know, those of you who said, I'm not going to watch the NHL because of this political stuff, don't do that to yourself. Watch the freaking game. If you don't want to watch the beginning, don't watch the beginning when they're kneeling. But don't rip yourself off. Watch the freaking game. We need that stuff now. So don't let politics get in your own way of enjoying yourself. Don't let political discussion be a blockage to your own enjoyment in life. Watch the freaking game. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to be watching. I'm not going to be watching the parts that upset me. I'm not going to watch the political parts because I just don't like it. I think it's in the wrong place. And you wouldn't take your pants down in the middle of an NHL game. Now, would you, Corey?
Not unless I was streaking.
So, of course. So, it's funny. I can tell stories. Years ago when I went to college, streaking was a big thing. And I remember thousands of people running by naked streaking back in Colorado those years. But anyway, my point is this. You know, let's watch the sports. We don't want sports to go away. These teams need our support right now. They don't have ticket sales. There's no excitement within the arenas. You know, there was a political mistake made where they allowed this to turn into a political arena. If we ignore that political arena and focus on the game, maybe they'll have to also. So one thing I've learned, this isn't easy. These guys are locked in a bubble. They're playing their freaking hearts out for us, Corey. Let's give them a chance. Let's not let politics ruin sports for us. Let's keep it sports. Well, that's it for me this week, guys. I love having these discussions with you all. If you have any comments, please put them on our website. If you'd like to be on this podcast, I think next week we're doing some audience call-ins, aren't we, Corey?
Yes, we are.
So if you'd like to be on the show, just give us a call at, Corey, tell them the number.
916-842-5180.
Give us a call on that number. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll call you. We'll get you on the show. Or you can send an email to podcast@johntaffer.com. podcast@johntaffer.com. And of course, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe to this podcast now on whatever platform you get your podcast, and you'll get it every week. And of course, don't forget to visit our social media channels under John Taffer. And next week we got audience calls, so I'm looking forward to talking to you guys all next week. And for our audio listeners, you know, we're also available on YouTube. And it's really fun when you think about some of our guests like Mark Cuban, Nate Schmidt. It's really fun to watch it on our YouTube channel. So don't forget to do that. And I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Subscribe to the John Taffer Podcast right now for more episodes every Thursday.